This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, with the television licence fee. My name is Alan Byrne, and this is part 5 of a 6-part series entitled Community Sports Clubs of County Louth. Square United are hosting a summer camp in the boys' school field on the south side of RD, and like any summer's day, there was a downpour and everybody was huddled in under the tent.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Okay.
All in close now, going to sing the song? Doesn't matter, you join in.
I
count the three. One, two, three.
Because we're Square United and you're going to hear us roar louder, louder than a lion, because we're Square United and you're going to hear us roar.
Big cheer. One, two, three.
Yeah!
Paddy Griffin is the juvenile club secretary and talked about the underage teams and the soccer academy.
Yeah, we set up the juvenile section 2 years ago, so we've had 2 seasons to date at the juvenile level, and we've been playing in the Drogheda League. So we've had teams from under 8 up to under 18 even. But at the moment, we have about 150 kids with the Square United juvenile section. And we've had teams playing in the Dundalk League. You know, we play in the Summer League in Dundalk with the under-8s and under-9s. And we would enter some of the 11-a-side teams in Dundalk. Most of the teams play in the Drogheda League. And we've also had teams, the under-18 team, we had in the Meath North East Counties League. So we've got a number of affiliations with the neighbouring league. We kind of have also an academy kind of running in the local school gym, which caters for kind of 6 to 7-year-olds mainly. So we kind of get them in as a nursery and then get them into the summer leagues in Dundalk and then into the Drogheda League.
Shane Connell's my name. I'm the coach of the Square United Juveniles under 13 team. Ex-player with the senior team for the 20 odd years.
And how easy or difficult is it to keep the club going over that amount of time?
Well, as you know, last year was a 40th anniversary, and only for the good volunteers that we have from when we started. I don't know if the history of the club, we started off in Sleabray. Square United was a bunch of the mothers and their sons had been involved in the school team, the community school team, that did well in the Leinster tournament. So as a result of that, the parents and the mums above in the square in Sleabray decided they were going to form the team Square United. Right. So here we are now. Right.
And did you always play down here in the boys' school?
No, we've played. We have a couple of different pitches. We played in Darbo for a while and in Dundalk Road. We've probably been here for the last 30 years or so. Right. And we're in the process now of maybe starting in the community school. There's a new field being developed. And it was part of the reason the community school got a big grant was that they involved one of the local teams, and we got them in the community school. So hopefully from September, if not early next year, we'll be starting on the new field.
And what difference will that make on a week-to-week basis?
Well,
for your
week-to-week basis, because as you know, we have 2 senior teams, first team and second team. We also have another 13 and another 14 teams. That's 4 teams going to be using this field in 2 days over a weekend, which is a lot. So, and then with all the kids as well, and we have the college park, but we're going to probably need the 2 fields just to keep everything going, you know. Mm-hmm.
Robert McQuillan is a UEFA B coach and looks after the coach education and schedule. I asked him when he got into soccer coaching.
That's something I've always been interested in. My dad would have been a founding member of Albion Rovers up in Monaster Boyce. So, soccer's been a part of my life since I was very, very small. So I don't ever remember kind of not being involved in it in some way or form. So, kind of taking it up seriously really in the last kind of 10 years or so in terms of the badges. So all of our teams have at least two coaches in place. So you have a manager and a coach, or in some cases maybe 3 coaches involved, which is great. So, the more hands on board, the better. I coordinate all the coaches, so I don't coach any particular team, but basically I kind of float between them. So there's a couple of us that kind of might do some sessions with different teams depending on who needs the help the most, but we'd have a coaching program that the lads follow, so I kind of direct all of
that. Before I came out, I did have a look at the FEI mm-hmm. coaching template, a PDF. I printed it off here.
Okay.
We'll have it's really a training session cycle of development.
Okay.
So are you familiar with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The first thing is the game. Mm-hmm. You evaluate the performance of the players and identify problems. So would you be taking notes on each of the players?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think just in terms of kind of my own kind of coaching aspects and what we do in terms of a coach is everything has to be game based. So you're basing everything on reality. So, you know, you analyse the performance in a match, you bring that back into your training session. So basically it's kind of reality based. So anything you do in training, it's not just, you know, doing something, a drill or whatever you might do just for the crack. It needs to be kind of, you know, in terms of how your team is performing, where the weaknesses and the strengths are, and basically kind of working on the, you know, basically usually working the weaknesses and fairness.
Ross McQuillan is a goalkeeper coach at Square United, and I asked him who his goalkeeping idols were.
I've always been a big fan of Drogheda United since their early days with the Champions League in 2007-2008 when they came into play. I used to go to all the games. Dan Connor, was it Mikko Vilmunen, the other keeper, big fans of them. Shay Given obviously is my one of my idols. So outside of Ireland, I'd say I was always a Man United fan, so Edwin van der Sar was always a big idol of mine as well. So
I wondered if there were any other sports that help with goalkeeping skills.
Well, I mean, Gaelic was always a big help to me. The soccer season finishes early summer, so I found Gaelic was always a big help to me. I was a goalkeeper myself. Always keeps the hands sharp over summer. You're not coming back rusty, you know. So I've always found Gaelic goalkeeping isn't a whole lot different. There's less more pressure on the ball, less time to deal with it. So I feel that's good for goalkeepers.
Ross gives us one of his tips for good goalkeeping.
A goalkeeper's first touch always has to be, I say, better than an outfield player's first touch. You know, there's more danger, really. I mean, if they don't get the ball down on their feet and out, there's more at stake.
2 years ago, we just happened to drop Evan in the community an email to see would he be interested in getting involved. And we were invited over today. We were invited over to Goodison Park and we met them and we were treated very well. And basically, we were asked what they could do for us. And they said, well, what do you want us to do? So last year, we started off, we got the camp going. So we went from four coaches last year up to six coaches this year. So, and it's, we went from a three-day camp to a five-day camp. So it's a flat to the mat, like, for the 5 days, but it's great. The kids are loving it.
So we've got over 100 kids at the camp this week, and they're having a great time. Like, to be honest, the session, the quality of the sessions that they put on are second to none. These guys are professionals at what they do. So the kids are kind of, they're learning, they're enjoying it, they're having fun, but you know, they're getting a lot out of it, so there's a lot of information.
Yeah, it's been good fun. It's second time here at Square United, so the attitude from all the kids being brilliant.
John from Everton in the community.
They didn't stop the kids, they just carried on what they were doing, and some of the skills that the kids have got is unbelievable, to be honest. It's the quality from them is brilliant, and it's good to see them all getting involved and actually helping each other out and playing the game.
Okay. Sean, when you talk about skills, would you have a list of maybe five top skills that you'd hope that the kids go away with this week, or maybe it's last night?
I wouldn't specify on like specific skills, really. I'd say like the just like coming out of the, as long as the kids learning something new, then obviously you're happy with that. But if they're improving on all like the certain parts with the passing, the dribbling, the shooting, the teamwork, and then obviously scoring some goals as well, as they all like to do. I mean, if they're going away with that at the end of the week, then obviously we've done our job as coaches as well.
Very good. And how did you get involved in Everton in the community?
I started about 5-6 years ago now. Left out of school, I went straight into coaching badges, and then I went on an apprenticeship with Everton Community. Done 2-3 years with Everton, and then full time role come up to work as a coach, and then soccer camps needed a new coordinator, so that's where I came into place and been in it for the last 18 months now.
Right. And where are you doing your summer camps? Is it all over England and Ireland, Wales and Scotland?
Yeah, we're all over at the minute. We have quite a lot back home at Liverpool and like North Wales, and then our international base is starting to build now. So we've recently this year been to America, Hong Kong. We're off to Berlin next week. We've had a camp going in Jersey for a while now. One of the Isle of Man, and then we do another one at Waterford in Ireland as well. So we've got quite a few building up now.
Okay, well listen, best of luck with the rest of the week, Sean.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Okay cheers, mate. Yeah. Nice one. Well done.
Luke Woods is taking part in the summer camp, and I asked him what was he practicing.
Step overs and dribbling and like skills.
Right. And what's a step over then?
It's like when you step over the ball and then hit it with your other foot that you step it over with, and then you change direction to lob the defender.
I asked Luke what he would be calling out to his teammates during a match.
Like mark up, watch him. He's dangerous because he's near the goalkeeper, so... Yeah.
Right. And do you take free kicks?
Yeah.
Right, so you have a good strong... Are you left-footed or right-footed?
Right-footed.
Right-footed. Did you score any goals at all?
Yeah. I scored one over the keeper's head and it went gliding into the net. And then I scored another one where it went bottom corner with a volley. And then I scored another one with a volley. Well, on the ground, top corner.
Caitlin McKenna, this is your second camp, is it? You were on a camp before as well, weren't you? Yeah, and Kenna, you're playing with the under-8s, were you, this year?
Yeah.
And Caitlin's in the academy.
You're not brother and sister, are you?
We are.
Oh, you are. How's the football going this week? Are you picking up any new skills?
Yeah. Forget the name. Step over. The scissors and the toe taps. That's it.
And the toe tap, what's that?
Yeah, you put your toes in the ball, just go like really quick and do it.
One of the recent developments we have with the club is a girls team. Last year was their first season. It was a very successful season for them. They got to the cup final and draw there. So we have some of the girls here today on the camp. They'd be only too delighted to talk to you. We're very proud to get the girls team up and running. We're hoping to expand that as one of our main objectives for the new season ahead.
And who will you talk to?
We're in another tent behind this one. Guys, this is Alan. He's here from Dundalk FM.
Come on the town.
Yeah, he's down with the summer camp today, and he's happy to talk to anybody. Anybody want to talk to Alan? Haley's going to talk. Just about the girls' team and getting to the cup final last year. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, so come on over.
Will it be on the news?
Be on the local radio station. Will it be a podcast?
The Whitland Court.
And then you can go on the internet and listen to the show on the
My name's Kaylee.
Evelyn. Aoife.
Sarah.
Emma.
Okay. And you're the girls' team. Is it the first girls' team that Square United ever had?
Yeah.
And what age group do you play under?
Under 12s.
So who's the local rivals? Who's the team that you want to beat?
Ardy Celtic.
And why did you join Square United and not RD Celtic?
Because my mum coaches Square, so
it's closer to where I live, and I thought it'd be good crack.
I like Square.
All right. So, what's involved in training? Like, how many evenings would you have to train every week?
We train every Thursday for about an hour. And we just do lots of drills, and at the end we might play a match.
And then we have matches on like Saturdays or Sundays. And then coming up to our cup final, we went training on the Saturday mornings and stuff.
Tell me more about the cup final. Who were you playing in the cup final?
We were playing our rivals, Ardy Celtic.
And how did you do?
1-4.
They bet us 4-1.
So who did you have to beat to get into the final?
Waterstown. And we bet them by a lot, I think.
No, it was 2-1. Yeah, still a lot.
Right, so what position does everybody play here?
I am right winger.
Goalkeeper. Forwards or winger?
Right back.
And so the forwards or winger, who scored a goal for? Yeah.
Me.
Tell us about the goal you scored.
It started up at tip, and Kieran Martin just passed it off to me, and then I scored it.
I kicked the ball to the Ardy Celtic player, and they scored, and then Sarah scored right after.
Good news. Tip off.
So how are you finding this week with the Everton in the community coaches? Are you learning a lot? Is there a lot of information?
Yeah.
Good coaches?
Yeah.
What new skills do you think you've picked up?
A lot of like passing and shooting skills, and just kind of teamwork as well.
How to step over the ball.
Dribbling.
Well, defending.
Shooting.
Hi, my name's Lisa Conlon. I'm PRO for Square United.
And how did you land that job for yourself?
I'm married to Shane Conlon, who has played for Square for many years and manages one of the juvenile teams. And in my absence, I was elected onto the committee.
That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to be there, aren't you?
Yeah, you are, yes. Yeah. So he came home from the meeting and told me that I was then the new PRO for Square United, which, as a social media enthusiast, wasn't too bad of a job to get. So okay. I'm quite happy with my position.
And when did you take that job over, Lisa?
It was about 3 years ago now. Right. So in the time, thankfully, The club is growing from strength to strength with the launch of the juvenile section as well. So it's an exciting time to be with Square United. So,
What does that involve, say, on a weekly basis, being PRO? What do you have? What social media sites do you have to manage?
I manage the Facebook page, the Twitter page, and Instagram as well. I am also admin for the juvenile page as well as the seniors. So it's just basically giving people the information of what they need for the games coming up for the week, fixtures, any club news. We have a weekly fundraiser in one of the local bars in the town called Find the Joker, which we have to, as any amateur sport inside, we need to make as much fundraising as possible. So that's very important to keep the people informed.
40-year celebrations in 2016. Were you involved in organising that event?
I was, yeah. I thought it was a really important event to stage for the club, because to reach 40 years in any sport in amateur stakes is quite an achievement. And because we're in the heart of RD, it was important for everybody who'd been involved over the years and who are currently involved to come together and celebrate it. So we decided that it had to be a black tie event, so we picked a location which was going to be the Crown Plaza in Dundalk, and it was fantastic. It was a fantastic evening and it was well received by everybody.
And did you have a guest speaker?
We did. We had a couple of guest speakers on the evening. We had Dan McDonald. Anyway, he came. He was an ex-Square United juvenile player and who currently is a journalist for the Independent. So it's a very important aspect of our club business anyway. So,
and Facebook has only really taken off in the last couple of years, but do you use Twitter every week, and how do you find Instagram?
Instagram's good just for quick snapshots of what's going on quickly. Facebook is probably the biggest one we use. Twitter is handier on match days just for quick results, you know, keeping the scoreline going throughout the match. But other than that, they're all equally as important as each other, to be honest.
Daniel played throughout his secondary school days from under 12 to under 17 for Square United.
Yeah, I think it was up until towards the end of my time in secondary school that I would have been involved with Square. And again, I mean, it was the only team. So I suppose towards the end, maybe a couple of the older lads. We might have finished at 16, 17 years of age, and then I guess lads, you know, would have gone on into play senior level and stuff like that. So I had it off to college, and that was the end of it for me. Probably was finished a couple of years before that anyway, to be honest. But still great times when you think about it now. Yeah.
Can you remember some of the people who were involved in training and coaching and
yeah,
at that time?
There would have been Paul O'Brien, Paul from Sleeve Bray, and obviously the origins of Square are sort of very much related to that area. And it was a solo run. It was Paul and then Dolores Malone. Beyond that, it was just parents and you know, people sort of giving lifts, and my own folks and whoever it might be, in terms of going to, we would have got buses and stuff, I think, to some of the away games. But it was very much Paul and Dolores, really. Like, they were our point of reference. I mean, occasionally you sort of meet other people, maybe they might have been involved, but they were the main two. I know, but like, Paul's family would always have been very much involved and sort of steeped in the club. And his nephew John, who sadly passed away, like, he would have been on our team as well. He would have been a very good player as well. So it was very much a family effort in some ways.
And who were the teams that you would have played against at that stage?
I remember Ratote were very good. I think we would have played against them in a couple of finals, because they had it. Yeah, they were pretty big for their age. I think we were looking to get an independent appeal into some of their lads being particularly big. The main ones would play like Toro. I'm trying to think, a couple of teams in Navan, like sort of Castle Villa, OMP, I think. I was more sort of Meads, like, you know, and sort of, you know, sort of more so going a bit north, really, or going a bit south, sorry, from RD, rather than heading to the Dock. We did play Carlingford. Vague recollection of maybe playing in Glenmuir at some point in some game or other, but maybe in Balorgan as well.
That was Daniel McDonald, whom I met at a press conference at Oriel Park, where he was keeping an eye out for the Dundalk midfielder Patrick McIlvenny. Robert explains that with the new PDP, the younger age groups focus more on ball mastery and skills.
So 8s, 9s, 10s and 11s are all non-competitive now, so there's no league tables, there's no points up for grabs, so that's really a bit focused on the player development. So
when did that come in then?
That came in, it was phased in over the last two seasons. So basically, I think it started with Rube Ducker, who's the technical guy in the FAI. He's the high performance technical director. Sorry, just not think of his title, but yeah, he brought this in about 3 years ago, and it's been phased in over the last couple of seasons, and it's been great. Like, we've seen the benefit of it now with our players who have maybe had two seasons at under eights and nines where they've had the 5v5 games, and technically they're much better players now at this stage and ready to kind of push on with their careers now too, you know.
Adam is one of the players at the club who was playing last season with the Draw the League representative squad, so he's on the FAI ETP panel, so he's had experience last season of playing against a few other league teams. Who did you play against last season?
We played against the Dublin League teams. That was really it, because the next season it's when we all play all like the Kerry and all them leagues.
Yeah, no, the Draw the League who we're playing with would have league representative teams at under 11, under 12, under 13, under 14. Under 14 teams would normally play other leagues at the Kennedy Cup level. And they would have inter-league competitions for the earlier age groups. But they generally would get the guys in once a week for some additional training.
Next season we were playing Kent in another cup as well. Like
Cashin Cup.
So did you have to go up and do a trial up at United Park?
No, it was down in the grammar school, and you'd trials there, and they'd ask for your name. If you got through, you'd...
So we had four players from your team were on the Draw the League squad this year. Yourself, who else was with you?
Andy Murphy, Josh Taff, and Lorcan Buckley.
So the four of you were in the panel, and they would have been training once a week and then playing some inter-league matches.
I'm playing left back, so I don't know.
So you're scoring a few all the same.
Is it difficult to get into the team?
It is, yeah, because there's loads of people that actually come around to try and get onto it, and lucky you get onto it. And they're splitting the team again, so hopefully I'll make the cut.
Right. And Andy's on the same Draw the representative team. So Andy, have you enjoyed playing with the Draw the League team?
Yeah, it's very fun. Like, you learn loads of new skills and you meet new friends from all other clubs and that.
How did you find playing against the Dublin team last season?
They were very good, but like, our team had some good movements, but like, they're just unbelievable.
They were unbelievable, were they?
When you say unbelievable, like, what was the difference between the Draw the team and the Dublin team?
The passing and like their shape and the movement, and they all know their names better and all that, because they've been with each other for over a year and we were only with each other for like a month.
And I heard that you were top scorer with your own team last season, the under 11s.
Yeah,
how many goals did you get?
I can't count.
Can't count that many. And have you had your favourite goal?
Yeah, when I dribbled past a few players and then slotted it in bottom corner.
Who was that against?
I don't know. I forget who was it against. It might have been Draw the Town or something.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my name is Adam.
And what team do you play with, Adam?
Square United.
Under?
Under 12.
Okay, so when you get to under 12s, it's a bit more professional, is it?
It kind of is. And then when you get to under 13s, if you even mess once, you're off the team.
Sort of very, very strict.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying this week now? You're into day four.
Yeah, it's pretty good, because we're doing a lot of skills. One day we do shooting, the other day we do dribbling or anything. It's pretty good, I think.
What position do you play on for Square United?
Well, last season I played for our goalkeeper, and now I'm going to try and do striker this year. So, and I usually do left back sometimes. If like someone else wants to go now, I do left back in the position, but this year I'm going to try and do striker.
In the Square United newsletter, I noticed that the next game would be a silent sideline game. So I asked Robert to explain this to me.
You know, there's a Facebook page, the Silent Sideline. It comes from the coach diary, a guy called Antonio Montero in Dublin. So basically he's introduced this thing whereby you allow the kids to play without any coaching as such. There's nothing from the parents. So basically you can applaud, you can say well done, you can give appreciation, but there's no actual coaching from the sideline. So it's a brilliant initiative which allows the kids to actually, the players, to make decisions themselves. So there's no interference from the sideline whatsoever. So, you know, you just let them go out and play the game, enjoy the game without any kind of interference, we'll say, from adults. And it helps basically, you know, their communication skills and helps them to kind of develop as players and make decisions on their own rather than kind of being coached the whole way through the game. Because look, there's a habit out there that people will overcoach. particularly with parents on the sideline, can get a little bit kind of, you know, carried away at times, and basically try to give too much information, which can conflict with the coach's kind of style of play or whatever the instructions might be on the thing. So it basically helps the kids to be less confused and more focused on their own decision making process and kind of focus on football rather than anything else, you know.
And is that something that happens once a year, or does it happen more times during the year?
Well, we'd like to actually do it on a weekly basis. I know we've run official sidelines over the odd weekend. There was kind of a national initiative a couple of years back where everybody kind of tried to do it on one or two particular weekends during the year. I think the message from that is that we should be doing this probably on a regular basis. So I'd love to, as a coach, adopt the policy as an ongoing thing where we do it every week, because I think it'll allow the kids to kind of develop better, to you know, master their own decision making process, and you know, it kind of enforces parents to maybe take a little bit more of an observer's kind of a view on it, rather than kind of get involved in their kid and kind of playing and confusing them, which happens, because if a kid gets caught between two minds in terms of the decision making process, he ends up making no decision, which affects the team as well and his own performance. And
do you get many people, I suppose, who haven't been through the youth setup coming in to play at senior level?
Not really from outside the town. You know, most of the lads now are all local. They'll be all from the Yardie area. Now, over the years, we might have had a few maybe from outside, maybe like to Drummin, but no one from really much for the field. A couple of years ago, we had a couple of lads, Polish lads, who had moved over to Ireland for a year or two, and they played a bit, but it's generally mostly local lads. But there's a reason. Like, anyone who wants to play is quite welcome to play. Like, you know, we're open to everybody.
Paddy explained the origin of a juvenile cup, the Nutino Cup.
On the calendar, we've got the Nutino Cup coming up at the end of August, which will be a kind of juvenile tournament that we hold here as well, and has teams coming from all over. I think this year we've got teams coming from Swords and Arklow, and we get teams from Dundalk, Drogheda, and even over towards Kell. So it's quite a well-supported team. Teams from Ballybor as well. So it's grown over. This will be our third year of doing the Nutino Cup here. So that's become a big event.
And
as
is
well.
That under a certain age group, or is there multiple age groups?
We run multiple age groups there. In fact, it's so many applicants this year, we're kind of wondering, can we do it on one day? We might have to look at doing it on the Friday evening into the Saturday, trying to cater for all the age groups we have ourselves, plus having visiting teams to participate with, you know, from under 8 up to under 14, and with the girls as well on board. It just has got bigger and bigger.
It's great. And RD is kind of a central area for Dundalk and Drogheda, so you're really capping on that. Where did the name Nutino come from?
Well, the Nutino Cup is named after Nutino, which is a town in Italy, which is twinned with RD here, so it's to do with the connection with the Italian team. So you know, it's just kind of in recognition of the link we have there, and you know, maybe someday we'll get to go over there and play with Lazio or somebody.
Lisa has a sports degree and would be interested in coaching. I asked her if she had played soccer before.
Not as much soccer, it'd be more hockey, netball, tennis, athletics. I went to an all-girls school, so soccer wasn't really on the forefront of sport at the time, which was quite a few years ago. But in the latter years and at university, I did play football, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I'm an avid Everton supporter as well, so I do like watching it as well.
Daniel tells us about a Square United team that went on to play in a tournament over in Liverpool.
Liverpool in 95, which was for, I'm not sure how the connection came about, but we played in some kind of international tournament over there, which was a big thing at the time. I think we had to raise money for it, and we all sort of got our tracksuits and our gear, and we headed off to play in a tournament overseas, and probably thought we were a big deal at the time. I think we went to a game in Anfield, and I ended up winning the draw to go and take a penalty at half time, which was Jan Malby's testimonial. I think it was Liverpool and PSV. So it was great, because maybe we didn't realise it, because I mean, it just came along at the time of our age group, but it was only recently last year when I was back at the club that I found out that, you know, we were the only underage team that they'd had in that era. And any sort of
Robert explains that with the new PDP, the younger age groups focus more on ball mastery and skills.
The whole thing, I think, with the technical plan, it's about getting our players technically more advanced, better on the ball, better at making decisions, better at passing. You know, ball control is one, but you know, being able to kind of pass the ball about, like, too many times we've seen Irish teams in the Aviva kind of playing the long ball game. You know, so we want to see our players in about 10 years' time being able to kind of take it down and play like the Dutch.
We've run a few bus trips to Ireland matches in the Aviva, and so they're usually well supported. We also went to see the Dundalk match there against Cork there not that long ago. Ross Gaynor was playing with the Cork team on that occasion, so he would have played here as a juvenile. And so, and we're hoping to go to a few more Ireland matches in the Aviva. They've been well.
So in the meantime, Square United continues to strengthen its academy with underage and senior teams, and to play football in the boys' school field, College Park, and they look forward to moving into the community school field. I would like to thank Paddy Griffin, Lisa and Shane Conlon, Daniel MacDonald, Robert McQuillan, and all the young players from Square United.
Cause we're Square United, then you're gonna hear us roar.
Square United Football Club RD was part 5 in the series Community Sports Clubs of County Louth.
And you're gonna hear us roar.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.